Thank you. So, this is our last evening of the season. In this format, Miguel asked if he could continue through from now until the retreat in August on Mondays, which initially we had said we would not do any more evening sittings, but because he wanted to continue, he will. And I think we will send a message about that to everyone. And he proposed to have a sitting period and then what he's calling a Dharma circle. So you will share a short text together and then have a circle where you say what comes up around it for you, if you're interested in continuing throughout the summer. And our morning sittings, of course, continue until the end of July. As I was thinking about this being our last evening, and what that means for us going into our summertime lives, or maybe nothing will be changing. Maybe you won't be going away on holiday. Maybe you will still be working or with your families, whatever you're doing. In any case, whether we meet here or not, your practice continues. And how does that continue? You know, each of us then decides what we do for ourselves, because we don't have organized moments when we sit together, or fewer at least. And I will not be doing Dokusans anymore until September, so you won't even have that moment for those of you who I see online. So what do we do then? How do we make contact with the present moment in the middle of our lives, our daily lives, or give ourselves some kind of structure to do that, instead of relying on the collective structure. So it's quite a good practice, actually, to stop from time to time. Not everyone comes to all the online sittings, but you know that it's there. And so even if you don't come, you know that it's happening. Whereas now, it will not be happening, or it will be happening less or differently. So how do we then, what do we do? How do we maintain the link with what we call spirit, with the mind, the infinite, the non-personal, the absolute? How do we make that connection? How do we see that it's not something separate from our engagement in the ordinary world, what we think of as the ordinary world? So in the here and now, with being on holiday, making breakfast, going to work, being hot, being cold, being in the rain, being at the beach, whatever your daily life looks like. How do we maintain that link? Because that's what the point of our practice is about, is seeing, is connecting, let's say, or realizing the absolute, the impersonal, the infinite, right here now in the middle of the limited, the separate, the concrete, the relative, our person. You know, we are a certain age and we have certain characteristics and history and all of that. And how does that connect with what we think of as infinite and unlimited and impersonal? So that's what our practice is about. And I read something recently from Pema Chodron, who often has very good, very practical ways of presenting things. And she was saying how to begin your meditation session. And we can do this every time we sit down. So when I think everyone on the screen, except for Krisha actually, will be at the retreat. I'm sorry, Krisha, but you have something also very important to do. So when you're sitting down at the retreat on your cushion, when you're sitting at home, when your children are playing and you have a break, Krisha, you can do this. You can check in with your mind. This is Pema Chodron who says this. Check in at the beginning of your sitting period. What is your mind right now? You know, if I ask you right now, so what is the quality of your mind? What is your mind right now? What would you say? So she gives, you know, she gives all these questions of how to check in. He's checking in questions. And it's like, what are you feeling right now? Contact that feeling. So it's not so much an emotion, but a mood, something physical, being drowsy, peaceful, agitated, some pain, headache, tiredness, whatever. And she says, connect with that or contact it non-verbally. So it's not about putting a label on it. Often we have meditation practices where we label things. This is not putting a label. It's contacting it, contacting what you're feeling right now. And see if there's any emotions linked with it. See if, you know, see if you're agitated and angry or pain, frustrated. Just see if there's any emotions with it, but not so much put a word to it, but just connect with it, contact it. Her word is contact, which is interesting. It's different than connect. I guess contact to me seems less dualistic. You know, it's like you make contact, you touch, whereas connecting implies two separate things that connect. So, you know, she says, what are the quality of your thoughts? What is the quality of your mind and your thoughts at this moment? And as I said, you know, is it busy, calm, obsessive, raging thoughts, dull, ungraspable, I don't know, whatever the quality of your thoughts are. And the point is to locate that, quote, contact it, and just be with it without putting any opinions or judgments on it, or thinking, oh, I shouldn't be having these obsessive thoughts, or I want that pain to go away, and then thinking, I shouldn't be having that thought that I want that pain to go away. But not even that, just be with whatever it is. So this is her series of questions to begin a meditation period. And as she says, the more that you practice, the less you need to ask yourself these questions. You can sit down and ask yourself the question, where is my, I'm checking in with my mind, but you sense it more easily without having to question it in the same way. And this is a really practical thing we can do. We can do it at the beginning of a meditation practice, but we can also do it in the middle of our lives. So, you know, you go to the beach and you sit down on the beach and you think, okay, so where is my mind now? Or you take the kids to get an ice cream and you think, where is my mind now? Or you're driving the car to go to the grocery store, where is my mind now? What is the quality of my mind right now? And then just be with it. There's nothing else. She, you know, Pema Chodron talks about like stabilizing, and I wouldn't even go that far. Just connect with it, contact it, and be with it, whatever it is. This is how to be in the present moment, to be here now. Because whatever is the quality of your mind is perfect as it is. To be present right now, you don't need your mind to be any other way. There's not some particular mind that allows, that is present, that we need to be present to. It's whatever, wherever you are. We have this koan where that involves Bodhidharma, and one of his disciples, who becomes his successor, comes to find him in his cave in the mountains, where he has been for 9 years hiding out, Bodhidharma. And he's a very determined student. The story says even something like he's so desperate, he's standing in the snow and he cuts off his arm to show Bodhidharma his determination. Finally, Bodhidharma comes out and says, okay, what do you want? And Eka, his student, says, please put my mind to rest. My mind is not at rest. Please put it to rest. So we know this, right? You know, we know our mind is agitated, or we feel cut off from ourselves or from the situations or the world, or we don't know what to do. And so we start thinking we should do something, we should be something else. We should find a solution to this situation, make it different. So we get, our mind is not peaceful. If we checked in at the beginning of our meditation period and we saw that, we would just stay with it. We wouldn't try to change it. But Eka is not doing that. He's coming and he's saying, I don't want this. My mind is not peaceful. Please, Master, put it to rest. So Bodhidharma said, okay, bring me your mind and I will put it to rest. So Eka goes off and searches and searches and searches, and then comes back and says to Bodhidharma, I have searched everywhere. I can't find it. And Bodhidharma says, I have put your mind to rest. So how does that tie in with what I was saying? What does this mean? If we are, that's why I liked this word contact instead of connect, because if we are like Eka, searching outside of ourselves, searching for something else, some other quality of mind, some idea of what we think mind is, of what our life should be, of who we want to be, about who we were before, about we want a different person in front of us, we want a different car, whatever. We're not at rest. We're not at peace. And when Eka goes looking and realizes that, like, how could we say it? There is nothing but this. This is it, right now, right here. He can't find his mind because he is it. He can't find something other than this. And therefore, everything is at peace. There's no more resisting, no more trying to make things different, no more grasping or pushing away. That's peace. Peace of mind, we say, which is a popular expression. I don't know if it exists in German, Portuguese. Peace of mind, yeah. And so this is not just some Buddhist thing that we're talking about, peace of mind. It's something everyone can relate to. You know it when you experience it. You're at peace. You're not looking for anything else. Things as they are perfect. The Zen master Suzuki Roshi used to, when he said things as they are, he said it singular. So things as they are is perfect. And people used to think this was such a clever thing. And it is. It's very deep to say that. Things as they are is perfect. I suspect it was maybe just because he didn't speak English so well. However, it has deep meaning. Things as they are is perfect. Just this is perfect. Could even say just this are perfect, maybe, to play the same way that he did. The ordinary world, I said, whatever it is, COVID, we've learned a lot in this past year and a half. And we're still learning. I just heard tonight that one of my Dharma brothers, who's supposed to next week receive transmission, Scott, an English Makai, his son tested positive for COVID. And so the whole family is in isolation, even though he is vaccinated, Scott, and he was probably supposed to travel tomorrow or Saturday. He can't come. And this is the fourth time that this has happened to him. Not this exact situation, but the first time he was supposed to receive transmission in April 2020. Of course, that was the beginning of the pandemic and it was canceled. So they said, oh, well, in July, it will be okay. So it was scheduled for July 2020. Again, he's in the UK and impossible to travel here. So they said, okay, surely October will be okay. So they scheduled it in October in France. Well, everything shut down again in October and they canceled it again. So they said, okay, we'll put it in July. That's far enough away. And now 2 days before, canceled again. So, what a teaching in impermanence, like here now direct teaching of impermanence. I haven't spoken with him, but Roshi said he was quite devastated. At the same time saying, there's a teaching in this for me. And that's wise to be able to look at it in that way. To see that, there is some teaching here of impermanence, of letting go, of not being attached, of having our expectations unfulfilled. I myself was supposed to go on Wednesday for 3 days, for the last 3 days. I think myself it's changed about 5 times too, because I could also include, I was supposed to go in April 2020. But my Eurostar ticket is going to good use because I gave it to Tiago. So, but even this next week, I was supposed to go. First, I was supposed to go, and then my daughter came, so I wasn't supposed to go. And then my daughter changed her plans to go away for those 3 days, so I decided to go away for those 3 days. And then today, I learned that it's not happening, so I'm not going away for those 3 days. So it's an amazing teaching. And this is just one example of what we've been going through this year. And if we can make contact with where our mind is at any given moment, we will see that our mind is changing all the time too. And when we can be, when we become aware of that and we become comfortable with that, then it's easier to be comfortable with outside things changing. Circumstances changing, all of this stuff. And see the link with the infinite in it. And respond creatively then in the ordinary world to the infinite. How does this infinite, absolute, limitless, impersonal quality manifest here right now? So maybe that will inspire you to just simply from time to time throughout your day, either sit down and at the beginning of your meditation, ask yourself those questions, or throughout your day, occasionally when you remember, ask yourself, where is my mind now? What is it now? What is the quality of my thoughts now? Wherever you are, whatever's happening. So it looks to me like Christine is on vacation somewhere, but I'm not sure. It doesn't look like her usual setting. But Lisa had someone who walked in the room. Things change all the time. And so where is your mind now? What is your mind? See where you are now. So any questions or comments, or this is the last chance before 6 weeks, I think, isn't it? Something like that. All except for in 5 weeks, we will be in France, right? So you will be in France with us, but the retreat is full, by the way. So we have to start a waiting list from now on, which is great. We didn't anticipate that. That's great.
How many persons?
I'm not sure. I think in total, we could sleep 40 people. And so all those rooms are full. Some people are only coming for a few days at the end. I think for the whole week, I think it's 30. And then in addition to those 40 people, a big group of Joa's friends and family are coming just for the end, but they're not staying in the center with us. They will come for the final sittings and the party and everything, but they won't be staying with us.
I feel like I don't know. How to say in English? An abismo.
Abyss.
Oh yeah.
Como, Thiago?
Abyss.
Abyss. Yes, like an and half year. This discipline, this being together here, and this, and now 5 weeks until we meet as personally. It's like. Plunge in some, it's a emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know really what it would be like, actually. It won't be like we think it will be, in any case. Krisha?
Thank you for your talk. I would love to say a lot of things because it's very simple and very deep to contact ourselves in whatever quality is there in the moment. I always struggle with the same quality that I have difficulties to be with. and that's that. What I wanted to share is in Portuguese is paz de espírito, to find our peace in the spirit. I think it would be... like that, and it's a training. Somehow, sometimes I can feel that. A lot of the times, I have qualities that I can contact with, and with the other ones that are more difficult, it's, you know, to stay, to keep training, and. What you told us about Pema Chodron, and I think others says one Tara Brach that I listened about in 2019, and now I don't do it that much. I really like Zen, you know, not doing, but are always stuff that that. Sometimes keep me company during the day, and And it's good to listen and to remember that contact now, not connect, but contact with you, yourself, the quality of what your mood, feeling, whatever. And as I'm not going to the retreat, but I will be with my sister, all the kids in a really nice house with a big pool. I'm imagining, it's my expectation, that as I'm not working that much, I can do, you know, the morning practice, the end of the day practice, because the children are a little bit older, so except one, but she's my sister, so the other ones will be with each other and will leave us more, you know, at ease. So my expectation is that it's this year, especially this confinement for me, I work a lot, really a lot, and I always tired. I can't be with you without doing this with the cushions, because my, you know, I start aching. And I'm looking forward to that, to I make a pause and meditate more, not always trying, you know, let me this beat now run to children because it's bedtime hour. Before I came to here, I just cooked the dinner and then I scream, you've got this and this. And thank you. And I will try to still keep training. Contact me to achieve my peace of spirit, and I shall when you are all retreating, be with you in my mind and practice the Sangha with you, Sangha. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, maybe that's a good way to finish. Lisa?
Hello. I don't have much to share, but it's just funny, I don't know what's wrong with my computer. It's quite in line with what you're saying. It has a life of its own, and it keeps. I don't know. Zoom is like zooming out and zooming in, and then I see you, and then I don't see you, and then the screen turns off, and then it comes back, and then. It's just happening on its own, and I'm just that you're saying that about yeah just that's just the way it is right now, and so I'm just watching it happening, and then at the same time I'm looking out my window, and there's just amazing clouds, and here again it's changing again on your screen, and it's weird. And yeah, I just see these birds passing by and all these clouds and huge clouds changing constantly of forms and yeah, and just a mirror of our mind. and of just what our lives are like, changing all the time. And yeah, that's it. Nothing to say really, but just happy to be with you all and yeah, looking forward to August. So have a nice summer, everyone.
Christine?
Yeah, hello everyone. I don't really have to say anything, but I just wanted to share a little bit. I got here because I needed some to put the electricity in for my computer because I didn't have enough battery. When I turned the screen on, I saw the stuffed animal behind me. I don't know. And I'm facing the window and I can see the chicken of my neighbors. And the neighbor came out with a huge, what's it in, a broom? Or yeah, some thing that made this one, yeah, good enough. And so I was wondering what he wanted to do with this broom. Mach die Türe zu, Eli. Sorry. And I saw that he came and that he wanted to put the chicken in there for the night. He wanted to close them off. And that's just such a beautiful sight to see those chicken running in front of the broom. And I think he didn't manage to get them all because they shut the little door and then they opened it again and he came back and there was some more chicken coming in. And then the dog was starting to make noise, so I couldn't hear everything. And then now the kids came to say goodnight to the dog, and now they leave for going to bed. So it's all a bit animated here. Yeah, nice to see you. And
are you in Germany? Are you in Germany?
Yeah, I'm in with my father. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm a little bit busy to in contact with my mind, with my rakuzu, and being one with the Buddha. I began, and I think August will be ended. I bring my rakuzu with me to France. I think.
Right. David?
How is our kitty, your kitty, our kitty?
She's doing very well. She's still pretty wild. There's something really wild about her. I guess it's appropriate for this sangha. She still cannot go outside because she doesn't behave herself. Right now she's not in this room with me because there's a lot of people out in the rest of the house, and so she's busy with them and they're playing with her and whatever, I think. They're waiting for me for dinner. But she's doing well, and we are getting a second one next week. A second kitten will come next week. So we will see
how that goes. Experience.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be like, but we'll see. Yeah. Yes, but she's a real joy, Muji. And with my husband, we were talking last night, and we were saying, you know, there's just something really wild about her, and like, just like crazy, you know. She's also very, very sweet and cuddly, and when she wants to be with us, she really wants to be with us. But when she doesn't, she really doesn't. And my husband said, well, with a name like Muji, how could she be anything else? You know, it's true. Lisa's asking if the other one has a name. No, because we thought it was going to be a male. We thought it was a, so we were thinking about male names, and then just recently they've told us that it's not, that it's a female. So we have to start over again, think of female names. So I don't know. I approach it like I do giving Dharma names. I just stay with it and see what comes. So, but I kind of have to see her and be with her, see what will come. So.
Sorry, what's the meaning of Muji? I didn't get to.
Muji is Mu.
Sorry?
Mu. It's Mu.
Ah, okay.
It's just a, like in Japanese, often they put G at the end of words. And so, Muji. So sometimes instead of Mu, we say Muji in Zen.
Thank you.
And then just in keeping with Japanese and, you know, how you give animals little names and things. So we often call her Muji-san. So.
There are Sensoris with cats in it now, so I'm sure you'll find an appropriate name for the cat of a Zen master or something.
Yeah, or you know, something completely different. When it was a male, everyone would see the pictures and would say, oh, he looks like a little lion, although he's gray, but he's very fluffy. Now it's a she. And so when it was a he, we were thinking of calling it Simba, you know, the lion from The Lion King. But now it's a female, so we can't call it Simba. We could, no one would know, right? So yeah. Lisa's asking how could they miss, because with tiny kittens you can't really tell. They have to be older before you can tell. Okay, I guess let's do the vows and.
Would it be possible for someone who has a gong to do the vows? Does anybody have a gong on them right now? Thank you, Lisa.
Very proud of my new gong.
Where did you get it? I have looked several places and struck out.
I'll tell you, but it's closed now, so.
Okay.
Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to see it. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to see it. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Reality is boundless. I vow to see it. It is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it.